Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So we're going to go back now to the 29th of January in 1979, when the children of Grover Cleveland Elementary School in San Diego in California arrived at school on a normal Monday morning. Then shots rang out across the playground and chaos ensued. Two adults were killed and nine others, mostly children, were injured. The shooter was 16-year-old Brenda Spencer, and she opened fire from her house across the road. And you may remember that this tragedy inspired the Boomtown Rat song, I Don't Like Mondays. So next Friday, Brenda Spencer will go before a parole board hearing in California. So to talk about the culture and societal shift the tragedy and the song brought about is TV and radio producer Owen Sweeney. And Owen, you also worked on Citizens of Boomtown, which was a documentary, the story of the Boomtown Rats. So Owen, to start with,
it's a song I'm very familiar with.
I remember how we hearing about this. School shootings, like, there are sadly much more common now. This was a very shocking thing back then, wasn't it?
It was, and it was sunny San Diego. It was 1979. As it turned out, it was a 16-year-old girl. Do you know, rightly or wrongly, people always think, you know, it's going to be, well, we're more attuned to fellas in trench coats nowadays. This was something we hadn't really experienced before. The way it synchronises with Geldof, we'll get to, but that's kind of, that's really apposite as well. But what happened was she was living, as you say, across the road from the school, and she shot on a Monday morning eight kids. She shot a police officer through the neck, and she killed, and this is why she's in jail. She murdered then the headmaster, the principal, who by all accounts was going out of the building to try and rescue some of the children. And then subsequently she shot and killed the caretaker, who was himself going out to try and rescue the headmaster, who just kind of been felled by a weapon. A police truck, or a policeman, by all accounts, planted a bin lorry or something of that description between her house and the school. And otherwise, the 20 minutes of shooting would have been a lot longer. When she was arrested, there was 200 rounds of ammunition in her house, by all accounts.
Okay. And now, nowadays, you suppose you look on people's social media sites to get some kind of reasons or meaning in these things. Back then, it was a very different story. It was a phone call and a journalist.
It's the most old school on the beat journalistic thing you can imagine. Basically, one local report. This was San Diego. It's still, for those who remember it and for those who were bereaved, of course, and those who were involved, quite a stressful time and subject still to this day. Her name has largely been forgotten, though, I think, in wider culture, but the song is ever present in our minds, particularly in this country, because we're so attuned to the Boomtown Rats oeuvre. But yeah, a journalist was ringing around, and you know, he knew where the school was. He picked up the phone book, as we all did, and kind of basically rang around the houses and trying to see if anyone could get a vantage point or describe what was going on down at the school. And he ended up talking to her herself, Brenda herself, 16-year-old, with the rifle in her hand, looking out her window, going, "Yeah, it's actually me doing the shooting." And he had to ask her what her motive was, what prompted you to do this, and she pithily responded, "I don't like Mondays," or as the journalist is featured on an NPR report, I think you probably heard it yourself, on one of the anniversaries there not that long ago, said, "I just don't like Mondays." And that was her excuse. That was the only reason we had. As you say, we didn't have social media to delve into. Subsequent stories, contradictory stories, have all been kind of delved up over the years.
And Geldof was elsewhere in America.
He was elsewhere. The important thing to say, actually, interestingly, is she was never cross-examined at her trial. So this is the only motive given at the time, and other than interviews done, 20, 30 years later, much after the fact, etc. But Geldof and Johnny Fingers are sitting in a radio studio in Atlanta. They're on a promo tour, the two of them. Quite, ordinary individuals, let's face it. Geldof didn't exactly, warm to the interviewees and DJs kind of in middle America, because you really had to huff it in those days. Do you know what I mean? They had been on...
this was the endless round of trying to crack America.
Exactly. You had to go out and you had to do what U2 ended up doing, which is basically in pre-MTV, and certainly if you weren't an MTV-friendly band, you had to go and visit every chicken and basket joint in America to try and break local markets. markets. There was no national radio station. There was no anything. So they were sitting in a radio studio in Atlanta. The Owl, and the lyrics, actually, when you think of it, of I Don't Like Mondays, are quite literal, because there was a ticker, a telex machine, you know, kind of the wires, the literal wire, printing off stories, and it came in. They were sitting in the newsroom, one would imagine, or they're sitting in the waiting room outside waiting to be interviewed for the umpteenth time about, you know, Rat Trap or whether they're the new Bruce Springsteen or whatever, which was driving them demented. And this came through, and literally the phrase, I Don't Like Mondays, was given, you know, and he saw it kind of print out on the telex machine. And that's, you know, the second verse, is it not? And of course, Geldof himself had a journalistic background. So the man, as well as not being averse and being brilliant at self-promotion, he knew a headline when he saw one.
And so Wendoff wrote the song. Song was released in 1979. Huge hit here, as we know.
Yeah, their second UK number one, it's worth pointing out.
Different story in America.
Yeah, it got to, it was their only top 100. You know, the Billboard top 100 is the chart that everyone kind of cites. And it got to number 70-odd, I think it was 73. Obviously, San Diego stations and local Californian stations opted out playing it. The parents kicked up a fuss. It's always hard to judge nowadays, really, how are things banned, or are they kind of, you know, is there kind of a soft kind of you know, advisory, don't play it, you know, lyrical content, blah, blah, which I know Geldof has said in interviews since. But, you know, ever adversarial and not without a case. He was accused of capitalising on a tragedy. But as he say, look, at, I never mentioned her name, etc., etc. But he says, is, you know, this is a pop song, but, you know, this girl was given a weapon. She was given a rifle for Christmas and 500 rounds of ammunition. We know this, by her father with whom she lived. And he said, well, you know, who's the real bad guy here? You know, and they threatened.
Did she contact Geldof at one stage then, Brenda Spencer?
You know, he is on record. It's very hard to kind of get a definitive from this. And she would be not regarded, I imagine, as one of the best and most reliable witnesses in all of this. But I know Bob Geldof in interviews had said that she has contacted him and said she's glad the song exists because it made her famous.
Okay.
And he said that's a hell of a thing to live with.
That's got to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. And as he said, it's a senseless act, but this is a senseless song to make sense of a senseless act, which is a quote from Smash Hits magazine aimed at teenagers in 1979.
And listen, there was friction in the band over the song as well, over who wrote it.
Yeah, the one thing I do want to say for the music nerds out there, it was recorded in Trident Studios in London, in Soho in London, which closed, I think, a couple of years after, in the early 80s. But famously, the Trident piano was the piano that Paul McCartney played Hey Jude on. David Bowie would record Life on Mars. Life on Mars played in that piano. Perfect Day by Lou Reed. Johnny Fingers then played I Don't Like Mondays, because it's quite a jaunty little tune. And it's just basically piano, and there's a bit of percussion from Simon Crowe, but it's basically just piano and strings and Bob singing. And they did fall out. There was a schism between Johnny Fingers and Bob Geldof for years over the writing credits. And needless to say, when the Rats regrouped in 2013, I think it was, Fingers wasn't a part of it, but he is living in Japan. But they've since settled and out of court, and the credits have been amended to Geldof Fingers. And but, you know, where there's a writ, there's a...
The song possibly moved beyond the initial meaning of it. You say that Live Aid had a big part to play in that.
It absolutely. And again, like, I think Brenda Spencer, or Brenda Ann Spencer, she known, as you said, kind of a ghoulish thing, looking up the Californian kind of penal directory for parole hearings, which I did for this item. And there's her name. But her name has largely been forgotten. The song has kind of gone down in the annals of history for right and wrong. And the phrase I Don't Like Mondays is now in common parlance. I got an email on Friday saying, Owen, do you not like Mondays? Because the Garfield movie has dropped on Now TV. And of course, Garfield is famous for I Hate Mondays. And it's kind of interesting that they didn't use the phrase I Don't Like Mondays, because there was a famous Garfield poster when we were all kids, which was I Hate Mondays. But more importantly and more powerfully, I think, the song in July 1985 reached a new audience and gained new significance, and probably kind of went off into its afterlife now, which was Geldof. But that moment when the music cuts out.
Yeah.
And Geldof is there, voice croaky, been up half the night trying to get the last bit of logistics for Live Aid. And he says that key line, and the lesson today is how to die. And he, you know, with all the passion that Geldof has, stops, and all you hear is the crowd. Yeah. And it's an incredibly dramatic moment.
Yeah, so I suppose it is one of those things where a piece of art can transcend its origins. Okay, Owen Sweeney, thank you very much. We'll take a break.